But we are in this series called Overcomer, and our first week we spoke about overcoming anxiety. Last week was overcoming depression and discouragement, and today we're going to be discussing overcoming fear. And really kind of the angle we've been taking in each of these messages has been a spiritual one. And I believe for each of these, I've mentioned this every week, we believe in a holistic approach. We believe that at times in life that you need to seek out counseling, that you need to go to a therapist and kind of process through things, that at times you may need medication for a mental health issue. And I said this last week, I believe it's important to say, in the same way you would not feel any shame over taking blood pressure medication, you should never feel shame for taking any medication for your mental health. Can I get an amen? Amen. I think we've come a long way in our culture, but I don't think we're fully there yet to really take any kind of shame or stigma off, but there should be. And I think the church is a place where there shouldn't be any sort of a stigma for that. And and also I want to say this, that this is a place, and I think this should be true of all churches, this is a place where it's okay to not be okay. I think sometimes there can be a temptation in church when you come in and you look around and you can see, and you can kind of, and I think the enemy loves to do this, is make up that the people's lives around you are perfect and they have no issues, but I have all of these struggles. Can I tell you, each and every one of us have our own issues and have our own struggles, and this is a safe place where it's okay not to be okay. But also we have hope in Jesus. Amen. And a side note, if you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue. It's called pride. Welcome to church. Let's just be real. I think one of the ways the enemy kind of gets in, I think keeps people away from God and away from church, is religion. And Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. He came for relationship. And here's how religion comes across, is that we don't want to talk about our issues. But here's what our following Jesus looks like, is I have issues and I need Jesus. That's what it looks like. And we want to create a space where people can go after God and be real and vulnerable with each other, and we can grow in God. I once heard this quote once, and I think it's so true, is that God won't heal what you won't reveal. It's critical that you reveal things to him and also to a close friend, open about your struggles. Welcome to Catalyst. This is your first time. what we do is generally want to be a community. We're following after Jesus. We're opening up his word. We're leaning into community. We're serving one another. We're loving one another. I believe that if we as a church do that, I think the church is a community of people that is irresistible to others outside of here. Because who doesn't want to come into a place where you won't be judged and only be loved? Let's leave judgment to God and let's just love people well. Is that okay? Let's just love the world well. And I think that would do a whole lot more if we can kind of pull back and looking at other people, deal with our own stuff, and love people well. Okay, I'm going to get off that soapbox. That wasn't my message. That was free for you. You're welcome. Fear. Talking about fear today. I'm really excited about this one because I think fear is one of those issues that all of us deal with in degrees. Some of you, namely, if you're a fan of the Washington Redskins, you have fear that you may not win a game this year. That may be legitimate, okay? So that's a rational fear right now. but you may have fear that your team may not win, but there can be more real fears. There can be fears because of things that have happened to you in life. There can be fears because of the realities of the world that we live in. There can be real fears, and oftentimes fears are, there can be, and you probably have heard this, that a good amount of our fear is actually not rational, meaning there's a very small likelihood of things actually happening in our life. But they oftentimes are rooted in some degree of truth, which is, I think, what makes them so real. And fear can be immobilizing. Fear can hold us back from stepping into that relationship, maybe a fear of being rejected again. Fear can hold us into launching that business out because maybe you did before and you failed really hard and you lost a lot of money, so you're afraid maybe of stepping out of again. Fear can maybe kind of keep you, even just personally, maybe fear of in fact, a real one is that of social phobia. In fact, out of the 10% of Americans who deal with phobias, clinical phobias, 7.6% deal with social phobia. And there can be real fears that really keep us back and really hold us back. Maybe fear with your children. Maybe you're, as you send your kids off to school, you're trying your best to raise them in the ways of God, but there's fear about maybe culture's influence, and are you doing enough good enough job as a parent? And there can be fear over maybe a relative who's been diagnosed with a medical condition that people are saying is terminal, and fear over whether or not they'll actually be healed, whether or not they'll actually get better. So fear is a very, very real thing. And I want us to talk about it today because I believe that God wants us to overcome fear. If you believe it, can you say amen? Here's how Webster defines fear. Fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. That word anticipation, another word is expectation. Another word you can say is faith. That fear is actually faith in reverse. Instead of believing for God to do great things, we can believe for harm to happen in our life. That's why when I read that definition in Webster's, I thought this is proof the enemy is behind this. The devil himself is behind fear. Why? Because fear is faith in reverse. It's expecting and having faith for something bad to happen. And again, it's very real. I don't want to dismiss that in our life, but I'm believing again that we're going to get some insight in how we can overcome it in our life. But let's pray. Father, we just thank you today for your word. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. God, I pray today as we open up your word that it would truly speak to us. You would truly guide us in your word. God, that we open our hearts and minds to receive from you today. May my words truly be your words for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I don't know if you have any football fans in here, but maybe you've seen this before. Quarterbacks will have these wristbands. Have you seen these before? They'll have them on their wrists, and they'll have the plays, right? What's intriguing about this, what you'll see is when they are in the game, and let's say they call a play, and let's say it's kind of a deep post, which will require some pocket protection for the quarterback, but then they go to this line, and the quarterback will see there's pressure coming, there's a blitz coming, and they know, I need this tight end to stay put to block for me. I need my fullback to stay put to block for me. So what they do is call an audible. Have you heard this before? An audible. Basically, what they're doing, they'll look at their plays. They'll actually look down at this, and they have a list of plays. They'll look down, and then they'll call a different play. They'll respond based upon the impending danger they see coming. Can I tell you this? I believe we're going to see in God's word today, God's given us a playbook in his word to overcome fear, to overcome the perception of impending danger that may be coming our way. And my hope today as we open up his word that we'll see that today. John 16:33, been a foundational verse for the entire series. Jesus says this, I have told you these things so that in me, everyone say in me, you may have perfect peace. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to understand, this is before he ascends to the right hand of the Father, before all of the persecutions about to come to the early church. And he's reminding them, listen, that don't go looking for peace in perfect conditions. Don't go looking for peace in a clean bill of health. Don't go looking for peace in a fully stocked 401k. You will only find perfect peace in me. Then he goes on to say, in this world, you'll have tribulation, distress, and suffering. You're going to have things that are going to bring, they're going to evoke fear in your life. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. And that's the good news to us today as followers of Jesus. And I want to be clear that today's message is not a self-help message. It's not a principle or a methodology on how you can overcome fear. This is all based in the word of God. And Jesus himself was the word made flesh. Therefore, where do we find perfect? Perfect peace in Jesus, in his word, by his spirit. Nowhere else will we find it. Will we find it? 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul said to young Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Paul then wrote to the church at Rome, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Remember that psalm we just sung? I'm no longer a slave to fear. And it's based off the scripture. For it says, rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, God has not made you a slave to fear. He's made you a son and daughter of the Most High God. And in that, we have peace. Our foundational passage today that we're really going to kind of springboard off is one maybe some of you who've been around church have heard before. And I would encourage you to look through and really hear through a fresh lens. Psalms 23. For others of you, this is a brand new passage. Verse 1, it says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Remember the old song by Coolio? Come on. Gangsta's Paradise. Anybody else you want there? Some of you are like, what is that? I'm sorry. I'm old. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Come on. Take a look at my life. Okay. Sorry. Focus. Scripture. 10:45, I know what's going to happen. I don't know. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some of your minds are blown because you thought Coolio actually wrote that. See, he didn't. He got it from God's word. We're going to look at Psalm 23 to get some application for our life on how a playbook from God on how we can overcome fear. Here's the first point. If you're taking notes, is to remember that God is with you and that he is able. Now, if you're not taking notes, write this down. Remember that God is with you and he is able. If you're still not taking notes, please write this down. He's with you and he's able. It's intriguing because many of the Psalms in the book of Psalms refer to God as king. But this one refers to him as shepherd. And it's interesting because in that, of course, that contextual, that part of history, that time and place, everyone would have been familiar with a shepherd. Not as much today. But a shepherd, the difference between a king, and be very clear, God is king, but he also is shepherd. He is the good shepherd, as Scripture says. In fact, Jesus said that my sheep know me, they hear my voice, and I know my sheep. He refers to himself as the good shepherd. And the difference of a shepherd is a shepherd would live amongst and be amongst his sheep at all times. In fact, even when they're out in the fields at night, the shepherd would build a perimeter to protect the sheep, and he would sleep at the entryway to protect, to ward off from predators. Do you see the image that the psalmist is giving us here? In fact, many say it's uncertain of who wrote this, but most conclude that it was David, known as King David. He wrote this psalm. So he's saying that God is with us. And I think it's critical that we capture this, the importance of God being with us, because here's the reality that sometimes fear comes because we don't know what's around the corner. And we don't know what's ahead. And I know there are many in the room, you probably are some type A, come on, type A planners. Any type A planning type people in the room, come on. Though many of you are like, I have not planned to raise my hand, therefore I will not raise my hand. Come on. We love you and we need you. The type B people would get nothing done in this world if it was not for you. Come on. We're the type A people. Come on. They're like, yeah, spontaneous. Yeah, woo. Now, we'll have a good time, but not much will get done. We love all people. But he knows this. I think God knows this, that if he would give you a plan, you would try to find peace in a plan and not the one who gives the plan. And what he wants you to know is that you may not know what's around the corner. You may not know what's going to happen in this relationship. You may not know what's going to happen in that work situation. You may not know what the doctor's going to say, but you'll know who's going to be with you, and who is going to be with you is the good shepherd. And he's saying, I don't want you to find peace in the plan. I don't want you to find peace in knowing cognitively. I want you to have peace with me relationally. That's what he's saying here. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I love 1 John 4:18. John says this, that perfect love expels all fear. Not some fear. Listen, here's the key. When you're feeling fearful, listen, perfect love. Who is perfect love? God himself. Therefore, lean in, draw in to God, because his love can take away all fear. And maybe some of you need to hear this. It might be news to some of you that you can maybe sometimes grow up in a church context, unfortunately, that sometimes you can hear that somehow God's love for you and acceptance of you is conditional upon your works for him. But that is the exact opposite of the gospel. Here's what the gospel says. When you were at your worst, when you had your worst day, God sent his best in his son Jesus. That his love, in fact, he loves you more than you can even fathom. It's the highest pinnacle of love that he has for you. It has nothing to do with what you do for him. I think it's important. Even I think as we follow Jesus, we can fall into, if we're not careful, that somehow his love and acceptance of me is conditional upon what I do for him. No, we do for him because he loves us. That's a different paradigm. But Deuteronomy 31:6 says this way. I love this about God being with us. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will go personally ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Now, God is speaking to the Israelites at this time because Moses, you know, Moses, the great Moses, he led them out of bondage and he led them crossing the Red Sea. I mean, Moses was like, he was the man, and he is about to transition out of leadership and he's about to raise up Joshua to lead the Israelites. And here is a period of uncertainty for Israel. They don't know what Joshua's going to be like. And maybe you've been there. Maybe it's a new job. You're like, I don't know what this position will be like. You have a new boss. I don't know what they'll be like. Maybe you're in a new relationship. I don't know what this is going to be like. Or maybe you're new to the D.C. area. All this uncertainty, you can relate. And the Lord is reminding Israel before they follow Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, for I'm going personally ahead of you. And some of you need to hear that this morning. God has already gone ahead of you. You have some uncertainty in that new job, God's gone ahead of you. You have uncertainty for the next several years of your medical school, God's gone ahead of you. You have uncertainty in your new internship, God's gone ahead of you. He has gone ahead of you. And then he speaks to Joshua. So Joshua here, he's about to lead these people, follow in Moses' tracks. And God basically says the same thing in verse 8. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. And maybe you're in a position of leadership and you're having to lead people in your workplace, maybe lead your family, whatever it might be, and you're kind of leading through some uncertainty. I want you to be encouraged that not to put that upon your own shoulders, for God will go ahead of you, that God will not abandon you. But here's a reality that I know, that sometimes our fear can be rooted in the fact that maybe you've had some pain in your past. Maybe you've had some hurt in your past. And if we could be honest, maybe there have been a time in your life that you felt like God abandoned post. Maybe it was at that time that somebody, and I want to be sensitive right now, maybe a time that somebody walked out on your life, maybe your father or your mother, or a time when you're maybe experienced some level of abuse or trauma in your life, or maybe when somebody close to you passed, left this earth. Maybe for you, maybe it's a medical condition that you kind of inherited. It was genetic, and even though you've done the right things, you're still struggling. And maybe you've been there, and maybe there have been times, and maybe there are parts of your life that sometimes we can lose faith. Sometimes fear can settle in. That maybe maybe early on we were believing God to do a great thing, but then after a while we kind of settled into fear and we no longer believed. And maybe even sometimes we can fall in this without even consciously realizing it. And without even realizing it, some of the fear that we experience in life, some of the problems we experience personally in life can be rooted back to a past hurt, to a past pain, to a past time in our life where we felt like God maybe kind of abandoned post. Is it okay if we're real this morning? I remember some years ago, I had a spiritual mentor, really kind of a pastor in my life, and there were some issues that I was dealing with, and I wanted to get some extra freedom in those issues. And again, please hear me. This is a place where it's okay to have issues. And he really kind of walked me through, and he said, I remember he saying, Jeremy, I want you to just ask God if there was a moment in your life, maybe a pain, a hurtful moment, or maybe you began to believe some of the lies of the enemy, that you believe some things that were contrary to God's truth and God's plan and God's purpose for your life. So I kind of was like, okay. So I kind of just began to kind of pray and process with God. And he brought back a memory in my life where I didn't realize it consciously, but I was realizing it in that moment over 10 years later that actually I had believed a lie about God. And here's what happened. I was 16 years old. And I was leaving basketball practice, and I was picked up by my brother-in-law, which was odd. So I knew something was up. Then I come home, and my other brother-in-law meets me as I walk in the door. And he invites me downstairs. As I go downstairs, he tells me that my father, also my best friend, has terminal cancer. And he says, hey, Jeremy, what they found, he's essentially got months at most to live. They're not going to try to decrease it. I mean, essentially, it spread too far. They can't stop it. It's now to prepare for him transitioning. And my dad, he was one of those people. He was for work was a businessman, but he was also a preacher of the gospel. He was a great dad. Again, he was my best friend. And all of a sudden, my world was kind of shaken. And maybe you've had that moment in your life. And here's what I realized over 10 years later, which I didn't realize in that moment. In that moment, I believed a lie that God wasn't present in that moment. I thought he abandoned post because, God, you're a healer. But you didn't heal him. God, you are one who performs miracles, but you didn't do it for him. And maybe you've been there. I would encourage you to be honest with God. He can handle it. And I remember this individual asked me, he said, I want you to ask God if he was there. Ask him. And at first I was like, he wasn't. I didn't feel him there. Clearly it didn't work out in the way I thought it would. He said, I want you to ask him if he was there. And not that I saw this visual picture show up or not that I heard God's voice audibly, but I felt in my spirit as I went back to that moment, as I went back into that moment of that basement, I sensed the presence of God was there. What I chose to do in that moment was to turn away from him and to agree with a lie. And in that moment, as I began to open my heart to God to tell me how much I'd been hurt, how much pain I had, God began to do a deep inner healing in my heart and give me a refreshed and increase of faith in my life. And I would encourage you, if maybe for you, you've had a moment in your life. Maybe for you, even the sound of my voice, you know there's been a moment in your life. Maybe, again, it was a parent walking out on you or someone who hurt you, whether physically or personally. I would encourage you, maybe even if you thought to yourself that God wasn't there, to go back and ask him. And here's why I know that God was there, because his word says so. Can I tell you? God is present even when we don't feel him. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will never abandon you. And I didn't realize in that moment, I believed a lie that God abandons. And can I tell you, church, God will never leave you or abandon you. He is always with you. Jesus himself says, I will be with you to the end of this age. Aren't you glad, church? He's not only with you, but he's also able. I love Psalms 46, verse 1 and 2. God is our refuge and our strength. He's always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. I think it's important to know that God not only is with you, but God is able. This recently, I was having a conversation with my oldest, Hannah. And I don't know what even made her bring this up. She was like, Daddy. She's like, you're the strongest daddy in the whole world. I said, girl, you better preach. I said, tell every boy in your room, in your classroom, my daddy is the strongest daddy in the whole world. I said, for the rest of your life, until you're 35 years old, tell every man you meet, my daddy is the strongest man. And when I heard her say that, I felt God prompt me and just say, Jeremy, do you believe that about me? Do you believe I'm stronger in that situation? Do you believe I'm bigger than what you're fearing? I ask that to you today, church. Do you believe that your Father in heaven is the strongest father in the entire universe? Can I tell you that he is? Last year, there was a period of my life where I was, a period of time where I had some fearful thoughts. It was before the church had launched. And when we stepped out in faith to kind of begin moving towards launching Catalyst Church, which if you're newer, we had our first service this past January. In that process, we first stepped out of faith. And just a side note, sometimes the things in your life where you are going to experience the greatest breakthrough and the greatest power of God in your life will often be accompanied by great resistance from the enemy in your life. So just because you're feeling a lot of fear doesn't mean it's not God. In fact, it may actually mean it's exactly God, because the enemy knows that fear can immobilize you. So it was during a time where we were moving forward with kind of launching the church, and I remember just kind of having some thoughts of fear. And there was a scripture. I'm going to encourage you to do this. That's why it's so important we get into God's word. To have scriptures that you declare over your life, that you pray into your life. And one of those for me was Ephesians 3:20. I'm going to read it for us. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Do you know his power is at work within you? His power. Sometimes we think God's power is around us. No, it's actually in you. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the grave lives on the inside of you. This is why it's so important we renew our minds with the Word of God, that we declare the Word of God, that we pray the Word of God. And I would pray this scripture over my life, saying, God, your word says that you're able to do immeasurably more than I can even ask or imagine or think. So I'm going to believe that in my life. And can I tell you, I have seen that in my life, church. I would encourage you, bring your faith in alignment with God's word. He is with you and he is able. Number two is this, is to fix your focus on God. It's intriguing that he says that, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me, for you are with me. The valley of the shadow of death actually refers to a ravine in Palestine where there was a lot of trees and bushes. And why they call it the valley of the shadow of death? Because if shepherds led their sheep through there, the sheep could not see predators. So there was fear of death. So here we see, again, David's giving this kind of picture that even though we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, a very fearful situation, a very hard situation, that I'm not going to fear, because your rod and the rod of a shepherd protects you. It beats off the predators. And the staff is to lead the sheep. He says, I'm not going to fear because you're protecting me and you're leading me. It's giving this picture that, listen, that the sheep, even though they're walking through a fearful circumstance, they're going to fix their eyes on the shepherd. And can I encourage you, church, whatever you're walking through that is fear invoking, fix and keep your eyes upon the good shepherd. A couple years ago, we took our two of our children, because our third one wasn't born yet, Hannah and Judah, to Disney World. Which, aside, I think that Disney should give a adult-only vacation to parents after they take their kids to Disney. Come on, somebody. Like, we're going to watch your kids for a few days. Go do your thing, Mom and Dad. You just exhausted all your resources of all kinds. We took our kids to Disney for a couple days, and we were at Magic Kingdom, and, you know, we did the Aladdin carpet ride and Dumbo and Little Mermaid. And so I was like, okay, maybe let's try something else. And Judah was two and Hannah was four. And I said, Christina, why don't we go on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride? Some of you who have been here are like, no, that's not a good idea. This is not a parenting message. This was a horrible decision. I soon learned that. So we get in the boats, and you go in, you know, if you've been there, the water, it's like all dark. And the first thing they show is some like big, older, like pirate ghost being like, I'm going to come after you. And all of a sudden, like Hannah's wailing, like Judah's like trying to get out the boat. And I'm like, what did I do? Like, I'm trying to like get a paddle so I can get out of here. Like, come move, go. Like, it was so slow. And they're like freaking out. I'm like, when I get off here, they're going to arrest me for parental neglect. Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, then I look around and I'm like, he's the only two-year-old on this whole ride. Like, I'm a horrible parent right now. And they're like, and then like for a while too, Hannah was like, Daddy, why'd you take us on that ride? I'm like, just forget about it. Just forget. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. But while they're like wailing and getting scared, I remember looking at both of them. I said, Hannah, Judah, just look at Daddy. I said, just look at Daddy. Just look at me. Listen. Nothing bad's going to happen to you with Daddy with you. Just look at Daddy. Just look at Daddy. Can I tell you, some of you right now may feel like you were on a version in your own life of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. And can I tell you, just look at the Father. Just keep looking at the Father. Come on, he's the strongest one in the situation. I know your circumstance is hard, but he is the God of all circumstances. Can I tell you, he spoke the world into existence. Therefore, whatever you're facing is so easy for him. I'm reminded of Luke 1:37, when the angel was speaking to Mary about being impregnated by his spirit to give birth to Jesus. And the angel says, for nothing shall be impossible for God. You need to hear that this morning. Nothing. You got to fix. You got to fix your focus on him. Psalm 34:4 says, if I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. Not some of your fears, not most of your fears, all of your fears, all of your fears. I want to give you some scriptures that happen to your arsenal. So you can bring this back saying, God, I'm going to seek you and you're going to take care. You're going to deliver me from all of my fears. Proverbs 1:33 says, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Joshua 1, I thought this was intriguing how the Lord was speaking to Joshua. This was soon after that scripture we referenced earlier with Moses. And in Joshua 1, 8 and 9, the Lord says to Joshua, keep the book of law, the word of God, always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I thought it was intriguing that God coupled meditating on his word with not being afraid. And I think it's not accidental. Do you know, actually, when those scriptures were written, there weren't numbers behind them. So it wasn't like a verse 8 and verse 9 were different thoughts. It was all one thought. And I think this is important to capture. Then I was reminded of Romans 10, 17 in the New Testament. Paul wrote this. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Just this week, I came across an interesting statistic. And here's what it was. That at a maximum level, we can hear about 180 words a minute audibly. So as I'm speaking, if I was speaking at 180 words a minute, that's how the maximum that you can actually process audibly. But then internally, so in your mind can actually process up to 400 words a minute. That's why you can read more words within a minute than you can hear more words in a minute. But I thought to myself, so if your mind can process more words than you can hear, that means as even I'm speaking right now, even if I'm speaking at 180 words a minute, there are 220 other words going through your mind right now. That's why, have you ever been in a situation, maybe it's a meeting at work, and maybe if you're leading the meeting, you said something, but then like the people in the meeting heard something different? It's actually legitimate because you said something, but then they filtered it through the back track of their minds. Like you have a background track going in your mind at all times. That's why it's so important. This is why we encourage you to get into the Word of God and read the Word of God every day. Why? Because listen, let me say this. A recent study, they measured the American Fear Index by looking at news stories that had fear-laced words. So prior to 2017, they said it was about 10.9% of news stories on average between like 1950, however long they measured it. It's about on average 10% ups and downs. But they said in the past several years, it's gone up to as much as 17.9% of fear-laced words in our media of all kinds. Not just news, but like media of all kinds. So here was my thought, that if the only time, and hear the heart, this is no condemnation, but if the only time you hear the word of God is on Sunday mornings, and maybe the occasion that you attend, but the other hours of your week, you are hearing one out of five words that you're hearing, one out of five stories or shows or movies you watched are fear-inducing. That means the backtrack of your mind can be full of fear-laced words. So you can come in here and hear words of faith out of God's word, and you come out of here inspired. But in the backtrack of your mind, it's full of fear. Are you following me? And I had this thought. I got a tape player here, which was very difficult to find nowadays. Just a side note. But I wanted to use this as an illustration because here's what can happen. We can be in church, and we can hear the truth of the word of God. And we can hear words like, he'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll be with us to the end of the age. But then we leave from here, and then we can have fear-laced backtrack in our minds.
You are not going to make it. It is too big to overcome. You will never recover from this. This is never going to work out. God has completely forgotten about you. No one cares about you. No one is pulling for you. I wonder what other terrible things will happen. The worst thing that could happen will happen. You should feel afraid. You are never going to survive this.
And you can hear these. I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to be healthy. They're going to reject me again like they did before. I'm going to fail again like I did before. God abandoned me then, and he'll abandon me again. And you can have this backtrack of fear. And this week I was thinking about how much background noise influences us, and to be mindful of it. And here's how I realized that, is my son is a big fan of a show called PJ Masks. Anybody seen PJ Masks? Anybody? A few people. And it is essentially a preschool superhero show. These children go out at night in their PJs and they save the day. And they defeat these characters. But we limit how much our son watches screen. But we play music all the time in our house. So when Judah's turn to listen to music, he plays the PJ Masks soundtrack. That's his jam. So he puts on the station on Pandora or Spotify, PJ Masks. So the other day I was out running errands. And while I was running errands, I had this song running through my head, which I could not point where I heard it. And then I audibly began to sing it out loud. And it goes like, hey, hey, Owlet, what you know, Owlet? PJ Masks, there's something incredible. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Where have I heard that song? And then all of a sudden, this flash of like Judah, and I'm like, that's where I heard it. And it got me thinking, even if you're not conscious of it, it's influencing you. If this
talks to you anymore, think of the awful things that might occur. What if no one likes you after this?
If that's running in your mind, that's influencing you even if you don't realize it. Here's the hope. Here's the good news. 2 Corinthians 10:5. I've referred to the scripture many times, but it says this, that we have the power, that word is dunamis, like the root word of dynamite. We have the power to demolish every lofty opinion, every thought, every other word that comes against the knowledge of Christ. And how we demolish it is the truth of the Word of God. So when you begin to get the Word of God on the inside of you and you say, no, not to him who can do immeasurably more than all I could ever ask, think, or imagine. No, that I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. No, that I am healed by the stripes upon the back of Jesus. No, I am the head and not the tail. No thing, no height, nor depth, nor power, no angels, no demons, nor light. Life nor death can separate me from the love of God. And you begin to get the word on the inside of you. Here's what happens. You take all of those lies and you begin to destroy them. You begin to pull them out and you demolish every lie, every thought of fear that the enemy will throw at you with the truth of the word of God. So you know, I love to be practical, not just inspirational. So on your way out, if you'll read it, now, if it'll take up room on your bookshelf, don't grab it. But if you'll read it, on your way out, grab this. It's called the Bible Promise Book. It has 1,000 scriptures in here. And you can look it up by different types of topics. For example, you can look up God's Love, page 91. I actually personally use this in my own personal life. And you can read scriptures about God's love for you. Here we go, Psalms 41, 46:8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. He raises up those who are brought down. He loves those who are right and good. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord came from far away saying, I have loved you with a love that lasts forever. So I have helped you come to me with loving kindness. And you can read scripture after scripture after scripture. 1 John 4:10, this is love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us. For he sent his son to pay for our sins in his own blood. And I would encourage you, use this to get the promises of God on the inside of you. And you can look up scriptures about peace, about fear, about anger, about depression, about worry, about God's love, about how he'll provide for you, about how he'll protect for you, and get this as the backtrack of your mind. So when all of a sudden fearful thoughts come in, the backtrack of your mind is I'm a more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You begin to get that in the backtrack of your mind. So fix your focus on God. Fill your mind with the word of God in your life. Allow that to be the backtrack. And then lastly is this, is to fill your mouths with praise. Fill your mouths with praise. It's intriguing because in Psalm 23, he basically says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, when you read that, to give context, is what would happen in that time when a army would conquer another army. They would bind up the other soldiers, and they throw a party. Great food, come on, a little filet mignon, a little surf and turf flow, come on, wine all over the place. I mean, they're having a great time celebrating. And they would bring in the enemies that they've taken captive. And they'd be like, na, 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 hey, hey, hey. You know, that's what they would do. Like, seriously, that's a party. Come on, somebody. Now, don't do that. You'll probably be arrested. So don't do that. But that's what he's saying. Here's what he's saying. Listen, that even when you're in the valley of the shadow of death, God has already taken captive your enemy. That's what he's saying. And then anoint my head with oil. This, again, contextually, in that day and age, in Israel, it was called the oil of gladness. And here's what they would do at parties. They would take oil. They would pour it all over your head. If you have a beard, they rub it all on your beard. It was called the oil of gladness. So what is he saying? That even in the midst of a hard circumstance, even in the midst of that cancer diagnosis, of that hardship at work, of that relationship ending, even in the midst of it, you can find joy. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not a feeling. That's what he's saying. And that's what I want us to catch, church. That you can be in the midst of a hard circumstance, but you know that he's with you. You know that he's able. You fix your eyes. You fix your heart. You lean your ears into his word, and you can find joy. And then he says, my cup overflows. It resembles wine. Wine was always symbolic for joy. He's saying, your cup will be overflowing in the valley of the shadow of death. Your cup will be overflowing. Then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. A better translation from the original language would say, surely goodness and mercy is all around me. Here's the truth of the word of God. The goodness of God exists in your life. Do you see it? I was having a conversation with God last year. I remember about this kind of time of having some fear. I remember God began to just show me his goodness all around me. See, the enemy wants you to not see his goodness and to focus on your lack or your circumstances. So your mouth is filled with fear, not praise. Because the enemy knows the power of praise. In 2 Chronicles 20, Old Testament, the tribe of Judah is going into war. And I've referenced this before. Some of you may know this. But they're going into war. The Lord speaks to the king of Judah, tribe of Judah. He says, I want you to send my worshipers ahead. And what happens in 2 Chronicles 20, you can read this. I think we have it on the scriptures on the screen. In verse 20, you're going to see what happens as they go into praise. He sends the praise team. He sends the people to begin playing instruments and singing out to God. At the very moment they begin to sing and give praise to the Lord calls the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. Like this is in a battle from different tribes, that there's confusion. The Lord throws them into confusion because they begin praising God. Let's look New Testament, Acts 16. Paul and Silas are in prison. And now give context. They haven't gotten word that they're going to be released. They haven't heard this good news. Hey, listen. Hey, Paul, Peter paid bail. You're going to be out in like 8 to 24 hours. No, all they knew is they're in jail locked up for their faith. And it says at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And then suddenly, everyone say suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake, the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Now, I don't believe this was a metaphor. I believe this actually happened. This is the power of praise. That as soon as they begun singing, the prison foundations were shaking. Chains came off. And I believe in the name of Jesus, even in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, even in the midst of a hard situation, if you will look for goodness of God, if you will fill your mouth with praise, God will break the chains of fear and worry off your life. And even if you can't see his goodness by his nature, he is good. So even when you're walking through hell on earth, you can praise the King of heaven because he is good and what he does is good. In fact, if you can't see what goodness in your life, the fact that you have breath in your lungs, that's his goodness. You can walk with your legs, that's his goodness. You're here today, that's his goodness. You have a job to go to tomorrow, that's his goodness. You have your eternity in heaven with him, that's his goodness. What am I trying to do? The enemy wants to keep you from praising God, because he knows the power of praising God. He knows it. He knows it. That's why we begin with music. This is why. Because singing can do something that nothing else can. When you praise Him, when you praise Him. Last year, the same situation I referenced, I was walking through. And I had fearful thoughts. There was a song, we've sung it here before. And it was my anthem. It became my background track. So much so I probably looked like a crazy person walking through Target and coffee shops singing to myself. But I didn't care. I was going to war. I was trying to get free. I can care about what you think, but then I stay bound up. And I'm not going to be bound up to the fear of man. I'm going to stay the fear of God. I'm going to praise the one who put breath in my lungs. I'm going to praise the one that gave me purpose on this earth. I'm going to praise the one that even when I wanted nothing to do with Him, He sent His Son to die for me. That's the one I'm going to praise. That's why I don't care what people think. I don't. So I would sing to myself in public like a crazy person. That was me. Here's what I would sing to myself. The song goes like this. I've seen you move. You've moved the mountains. And I believe that you can do it again. I've seen you move. You've moved the mountains. And I can see, I believe, you're going to do it again. And I began to think about the times. I began to think about the moment that I realized how much God had loved me. I saw you move then. I remember the time that I met Christina and I fell in love with her and I saw them move again at a time in my life when I thought I would never be married. I saw when I held Hannah for the first time, I saw God move as I held my child. I've seen God move. I began to think through the times of my life that God had moved and I would sing out, God, I will see you do it again. And here's my hope. Is that you would fill your mouth with praise and you would have a background check of praise in your mind. So when those thoughts of fear come, you're like, no, devil. As that song Overcome that we sung earlier, it says, for every fear, there's an empty grave. For every fear, there's an empty grave. We overcome because of the risen one who is Jesus. Listen, church, hear my heart. The antidote to fear is faith in God. But the soundtrack to faith is praise. I'm going to say it again because it's so important that you capture this. The antidote to fear is faith. And the soundtrack to your faith is praise. It's worship. I would encourage you this week, begin to look for the goodness of God around you. Begin to look for His mercy. Begin to look for His goodness. Begin to fill your mouth with praise. I'm believing in Jesus' name. You're going to experience an increase of faith this week. I'm believing in Jesus' name. You're going to see fear go in the name of Jesus this week. Can you bow your heads with me?